There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
One evening I looked at the hamad, it was like 9 p.m. And one of the huge like rooms was filled with like Haredi people and secular. And like you saw like women who like, you know, were barely dressed, it was really hot, and they were like with like ting tong and like short pants, and near them Haredi men, and they all literally work together, and no one cares what other person wear. No one cares if they have a yarmulke on their head or a tattoo on their arms. It was just, you know, people want to do good together. And I looked at it and I said, ah, we could be that place. We could be that place. We don't need to agree. We don't need to marry each other, but we can, you know, coexist. Why we believe those who said that we should hate each other?
Hey, listeners, it's Mishi. So, as you know, during these incredibly difficult days, we're trying to bring you voices we're hearing among and around us. These aren't stories, they're just quick conversations, or postcards, really, that try to capture slivers of life right now. Chaya Gilboa has been a dear friend of mine for many years. She's an incredible Talmud teacher, a tireless activist, a flaming redhead, and was, for the last 3 years, the CEO of the Jerusalem Philanthropic Initiatives, which works with local civil society. On October 11th, Chaya turned 40. But instead of any kind of celebration, she was, no surprise here, leading a team at the Jerusalem Chamal, the epicenter of the city's volunteer efforts. Here she is. Hi, Chaya.
Shalom, Mishi.
Hi. Can you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Chaya. I'm from Jerusalem. I grew up in Jerusalem. My family is 9 generations in Jerusalem. I was born here in a very different part of the city, in an ultra-Orthodox community. Now I live more secular life in downtown Jerusalem. I have 3 kids. And I work with civil society in Jerusalem, Palestinians, Israelis, ultra-Orthodox, secular, which I try to support their work as an activist.
And can you tell me what your experience of October 7th was like?
We have like a right across our home, literally a minute walk. There is like all the Bete Sefer Le'omanuyot, all the art schools in Jerusalem, and the cinema school, like the visual art school and the theater school. And they said that they opened a safe place there. So we took the kids and we just left, because we didn't know at first. We thought, you know, we're going to get people in our home. We tried to kill it. That was a feeling. So we went there and there was a bunch of students, and like it was a beautiful room with a big television and couches. And this was the first moment that I realized that something really bad is happening, and it might take longer than I think. But then what happened in the building, that few people came and they said, let's turn this place into a hamal, into an operation room. And I joined them. And it saved me emotionally and spiritually, because from that moment, I was involved in helping others and I forgot to be afraid.
So the hamal, the Jerusalem hamal, came together very quickly, like a lot of other initiatives, and became sort of a central operation. Can you describe a little bit what it did and what went on there?
So the Chamal, like in the first 2 weeks, we had approximately 4,000 volunteers a day. We had 20 different groups. And in each group, like they did different things. Like they collected food, they sent the food to families, they helped evacuate people from their homes. And they went to Shiva and to funerals. Like there was all kind of things that were needed, and they took care of it immediately.
And what did you do?
What I did, I established a small group of volunteers where I raised money to bring people from south that the government didn't help them at first, from Ashkelon, Netivot, Sderot, and to place them in hotels. So we, within days, I raised 2 million shekel, which is a lot, and we helped more than 1,500 people from the south to place them in like a safe place. And it's it was an operation. But I knew that's what I need to do. Yeah.
Wow.
I think what really unique that when I start raising money, I went to people that I know and that they trust me and they could easily send money. But there is one guy, I think he lives in between Jerusalem and United States. I'm not even sure. Someone gave me his name and I WhatsApped him and I said, "Hi, you don't know me. My name is Chaya." It was the third day of the war. I have 80 families who I need to evacuate now because many of them have disabled kids. You know, when there is a siren and you are a mother or a father to someone who is on a wheelchair, you need to make a fast decision. What do you do? So we decided that this will be the first families we will help. And then I needed 100,000 shekel now, achshav, right now. So I WhatsApped him and I said, "Hi, do you have any connections? Can you give some of the amount?" And he literally said, "How much you need?" And I said, 100,000 shekel or a bit less. And he said, "Okay, I'm sending you on a WhatsApp my credit card from both sides so you can make the transaction. And you have the right to use up to 100,000 without asking me. I don't know you, but I trust you. So if you see a need and I'm not available, just do it." And I start crying at the office. I couldn't believe.
Wow.
Ken. It's a beautiful story.
And in a way, you were sort of collecting beautiful stories or beautiful moments that you witnessed at the Hamal.
Ken, what I constantly try to do, I have in my iPhone like Ptakim notes. And I constantly wrote their moments, small moments of human beauty, I called it, of anonymous people that I encounter. I needed it for me. I needed to remind myself, you know, this war, what happened is that we saw the most ugliest place in human being. What happened down south with the Hamas, it's not just a war, it was cruelness. And at the same time, we saw the most beautiful, generous, kind aspect of humanity. People supported without asking questions. They were so amazing. And I kept asking myself how those two elements can live together, how humanity can be so mean and so kind. So I start collecting stories of kindness because I really needed a reminder that humanity is not only or not mostly cruelness.
Can you share a story that stayed with you?
Yes. The Schusterman Foundation actually gave me $5,000. I'm a fellow in one of their programs. And they said, "Do whatever you need with this money." So we started asking and then we realized that in two kibbutzim that were really damaged, many people died and were killed and kidnapped and the houses were burned. Kfar Aza and Be'eri, they need computers for the kids to watch movies and for the adult to start working again. So we asked the Schusterman Foundation if we can just buy 20 laptops with it. And they said, of course. And then I sent 10 computers to Kfar Aza, to the kibbutz, with a friend who was born at the kibbutz and he knew exactly who he should give it to them. He was really happy. And then my friend Yuval came to pick up the computers to Be'eri, to Kibbutz Be'eri. And he came with his car and we like opened the track and there is 10 boxes of huge computers, great computers. And like each time I took one computer to the track because it was big and heavy and we want to make sure that nothing happened to the computer. And I see, when I do it, I see the Avshalom, his name, he's the security guy that secured the Hamal those days. He was born in Ethiopia. He moved to Israel. He have many kids. And I know it because we spoke a bit. He's 65, I guess. That's how old he is. And he stands there at the Hamal days and night, like protecting us. He's doing double shift. as a security guy, and he looked at me, and I see his head, like, in a way, walking with me, his head, like, to the car and to the pile of computers, and he doesn't say anything. And then when I put everything in the car and I close the truck and Yuval start driving, he came to me very embarrassed, and he say, "Chaya, can I ask you a question? My son Avichai is about to start university. He's the first in the family, in the extended family, that will pursue higher education. And there is one thing he needs, a computer. He can't sit in a class today with notebooks. He needs a computer. And he says, I work really hard. I do double shift here at the Hamal. I go after and also work just to raise money to be able to buy a computer to him. So if next time a donor give you a computer and happen to be that you have one extra, would you please give me?" And I said, "Of course, of course." And I thought to myself, what is it for him to see like pile of computers, just, you know, like, he stood there from the beginning of the war, and his experience was different than mine. I guess he's mostly in a survival mode. And he saw tons of iPhones, computers, you know, mattresses. People donate massive, like, donations. And he's taking care of that place. And I bet that he saw this and he, you know, he felt that maybe he wished he could get one of, but, and then Marek, my partner, looked at me and say, "Chaya, call Yuval, bring back the car and give him a computer." And I was like, of course, Toda, Marek, that's what I need to do. So I called Yuval, and he came back, and I said to Yuval, "Send Barry 9 computers and not 10. And he said, "Yeah, I don't think it's a problem." So I took one box out, and I went to Avshalom and I say, "Here, this is a computer to Avichai." And I took like a pen and I wrote on the box, "Le'Avichai, kulanu rotzim shetiyeh student nifla, metzuyan, shiyeh lecha be'atzlacha." I wrote, "Avichai, this computer is for you to be a great student and we all look forward to your success." And I gave it to him. And he couldn't believe. He stood there, you know, 65 years old, man. He couldn't believe that, you know, he made a wish out loud, but he didn't mean now. He meant one day, if. And he started crying. And then he called his son and he couldn't speak. He said to his son, "Avichai, Avichai, today when you come home, I have something for you. I have a computer for you." And his son says, "What? No way." And he said, "Yes, yes, yes." He couldn't believe. It was such a moment. You know, I think in war times, sometimes we see so many people, and sometimes there are certain people we don't see. You don't see the security guy that stands day and night at the Hamal because you have a mission. You need to save people, right? And it was a moment that the world helped me to see him. And I felt really good that Avichai got it. I felt like he also has the right, you know, to receive a computer. And then he left me a amazing message. And every time I had a hard day, when I face really sad stories, I used just to play the message from Avshalom. Like, he just, it was such a beautiful message because you could hear in his voice that it's a sound of someone that a miracle happened to him. And there is no miracles those days. I wake up every morning and I want to see a headline in Ynet that all the captive are back. That's a miracle I want to see, and I don't see it. And I want to see other miracles of people that that are better, and I don't see it. There is no miracles. And then it was a small miracle.
Can you play it for us?
Yes, of course. It's in Hebrew. But you know what? Part of me even say you don't even need to translate it. Just listen to the music of his words, because I think it gives the story.
אחותי היקרה, מה נשמע? מה שלומך? את יודעת שהגעתי ב-12 בלילה, אחרי המשמרת, הוא חיכה לי. פשוט לא האמין שנתתי לו את הקרטון. את לא מאמינה. את לא מאמינה כמה הוא היה שמח. והוא אמר, עכשיו אני מבין, אלוהים רוצה שאני אלמד, ופשוט באמת אין מילים. אבל באמת נשמה, אלוהי ישראל יברך אותך. מאוד מאוד אוהבים אותך. מאוד מאוד מאוד. תודה רבה. שלך ערב טוב, נשמה. ביי.
So this happened. And then I told to someone who have an organization that support Ethiopian high education, as an anecdote, I told it to them. And he said, great, can you just pass me his info? We will be happy to cover his tuition. So that story, I think, made me think that about the needs that are always there and we don't tend to see.
Thank you, Israel. You're a beautiful human being.
Tada. I think we all, Bemet.
אנשים שקופים מתהלכים לא נראים על פניי חולפים כמו רוחות כמו צללים כמו צלילים שאף אחד לא רוצה לשמוע סיפורים שאף אמא לא תקרא לילד לפני השינה אנשים שקופים כואבים מתקלים כמו תפוחים ישנים על השולחן מרכבים את גופי מחשבותיי נשכחות וגם אני מתנדפת נפחת לעוד מאותם האנשים השקופים
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.